The Conficker worm first showed up in 2008. It targeted Windows operating systems and used malware techniques to take over machines and turn them into zombie computers. And as of today, experts believe about 10 million home, business, and government computers remain under the Conficker worm control. It is believed to be one of the largest computer infections of the decade. Now, the threat was so serious, Microsoft and ICANN offered a $250,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of Conficker's authors, who are still at large. Joining us now is Rod Jaffe, the Senior Vice President and Senior Technologist at Neustar. Thank you, sir, for joining us again. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, good morning to both of you.
And now we're talking about some lessons learned and what's come out of this recent report regarding Conficker. Fill us in, if you will. What is the latest?
Sure. So from a threat point of view, we have still not made any arrests of the people behind Conficker. There is no public announcement in terms of who they are, although there has been a fair bit of law enforcement activity. The report itself is one that's been almost a year and a half in the making, and is interesting for people who want to look at what was learned from the formation of the Conficker working group rather than the worm itself. A number of researchers have talked about the worm. But what we really looked at here is the lessons that could be learned from the creation of what turned out to be a very successful working group.
And so there's some fresh details, right, that have just come out in the past couple of days.
Correct. What we, I guess, sort of in summary, if you're looking for a quick understanding of what the report talks about, it really identifies the fact that the working group itself was a significant success, probably one of the best successes we've seen in the whole idea of talking about public-private partnerships. Although in this particular case, as the report points out, there was very little involvement of the federal sector in the beginning. It was really a private initiative. However, at the end of the day, even though we were very successful, and the operation itself was highly successful, the patient ultimately appears to have died. We are no closer to solving the problem of Conficker.
Let's talk a bit about that involvement of the feds. Does it strike you that there needs to be more cooperation between the public and private sector to be able to ensure things like Conficker never happen in the first place, much less being able to find out how to solve them once they do happen?
I think that's probably the underlying finding that's most important. But it's one that obviously we've been discovering over the last year or two and has been sort of a loud cry for quite a while. We have to deal with that. It was quite difficult in this particular case because I think that it just doesn't exist in the DNA of most of the federal sector, certainly related to security, to share with private industry. The problem is that over 85% of critical infrastructure rides 85% of the federal infrastructure rides on the private sector. And so there has to be a sharing. One of the concerns for us, and one of the things that came out of the report, was that while there was a fair bit of knowledge within the federal sector about Conficker at the time it was occurring, it wasn't shared with the private sector, and so we had a limited view of the real extent of it. Out of this report, it's hopefully now blatantly obvious to everyone that sharing between private and public sector is critical to succeeding against so much Conficker, but the cybersecurity world on the offensive side that's aimed at the United States.
But it sounds like we haven't really codified the way that federal government and industry work together. There are mechanisms in DHS that call for this, and they have structures set up to share formally with industry. And yet, on the other hand, the Conficker working group and other working groups, I think subsequent to that, were formed by well-meaning people alone in the private sector and then brought in the government. So is there a mechanism by which this can be established to have a, let's say, a standard operating procedure when something like this happens without getting overly bureaucratic?
The outcome from the report does provide some suggestions. Just one thing I want to make sure people understand, that the report itself was an independent report by the Rendon Group that was funded by a DHS grant through DHS S&T. But it wasn't a DHS report, and it wasn't a Kenfica working group report. It was really independent. So the findings in it, I think, can be looked at, you know, relatively objectively. In those findings, there are recommendations about how we try and solve the problem in the future and things we can put in place to try and encourage public-private partnerships. I'm not sure that much of it is going to be taken to heart, but I do know that there's been a fair bit of interest around the federal sector and looking at this as, if not the poster child, certainly a very good exemplar to follow to get involvement by both sectors without violating things like crossing tail lines from classified data, without upsetting the private industry, who for many years now have shared with the federal sector and gotten nothing back. So there is a model that we can follow, and there are some steps. And I think it would be very useful if people in the federal sector looked at those steps and thought about ways that they could take, you know, even two or three of the ideas the next time they're faced with an issue and begin to reach out to the private sector.
We are talking with Rod Jaffe, the Senior Vice President and Senior Technologist at Neustar. And it sounds as though the onus is on the federal government to do the reaching out, not the other way around, not the private sector pushing the federal government to work with them.
In the private sector, it feels to us, and certainly the involvement that I've had, that we've done everything we can to reach out. We've created some organizations. We've started to vouch in from a trust point of view many members of the federal sector in the cybersecurity world. I will say that there are some very effective partnerships that are now in place. Something called the NCFTA, National Cyber Forensics Training Alliance, which is a 501c3 out of Pittsburgh, is really a joint operation between the private sector and, for example, the FBI, who have a very large presence there. That's, I think, a perfect example of what can be done when there is joint cooperation. It would be good for the federal sector to look at that as a model and expand on that in other areas.
Okay, so that's a pretty good policy lesson, I think. I want to just take it back down to the Conficker and the cybersecurity lesson, because so many federal government computers were dinged by this bug. Did we learn anything about cybersecurity and worm fighting from the whole Conficker working group experience?
We learned some lessons. Well, some things were demonstrated to us, but I don't know that we've learned from them. One of the things the report points out, a side note, but one that's very important, is that there are still 5 or 6 million machines that we're aware of that are infected with Conficker. Part of the problem is that the average IT employee has, or even CIOs, have basically said, we don't see Conficker doing anything malicious. Let's leave that and go and fight the other things we have to fight. And the problem is that Conficker, when it infects a machine, does two critical things. It disables Windows Update, and it disables normal antivirus. And so the problem you have is that while Conficker itself may not be doing anything and may, in fact, no longer be under the control of any criminal, what it definitely has done is suppress the immune system of every system that it's on. So what we find is when we look at a computer that was infected with Conficker and has been infected with Conficker for some period of time, we find 10 or 15 other infections that were able to piggyback on the immune suppression of Conficker. So, in fact, Conficker today is probably still the most dangerous piece of malware that we have out there, because it's providing an easy vector for other infections that normally would be stopped by current updates from Windows and from antivirus, to not be effective.
And no one has developed an antidote. That is, no one has developed a tool that can find that particular worm and uninstall it.
No, not true. There actually has been, since October of 2008, the tools have existed. The problem is that the average user is not able to use the tool, because in order to use the tool, you have to be able to get to a Microsoft update site or an antivirus update site, and that's been suppressed by the software as well. So while there are tools that can be used by almost any qualified or trained person, the average user is not able to. All that it needs is to be able to get a standalone instance of one of the tools, which are available freely on the Internet, and be able to run it off, for example, a CD or a USB drive. The problem, as soon as I mention the word USB drive, you know, your hair probably stands up on end because that was one of the major vectors.
That's how it got in.
Yes.
One last question for you before we let you go, and that is, at the very beginning of this interview, you did say that there have been no arrests made of the people believed to be behind Conficker. Don't know who it is. You said people. So it's not just one person, you don't think, or is there even any way to know?
We're pretty sure, given the expertise that was needed in so many areas, that it's certainly much more than one person. We don't think that one person could have had the expertise in such unrelated areas that were needed for Conficker. So, yes, I think it's a group. We have had indications in looking at the code that it's got more than one writing style. And I think there is some activity behind the scenes getting closer to the people behind it. But there's nothing public that we're aware of.